weeks or the entire month of July speaking about the necessity of love. This week's message is titled The Motivation of Love. In light of that, I open up with a story. It's a true story. The story of Mary Martin, who was the great Broadway musical star. And one evening as she was about to go on stage to perform in South Pacific, a note was handed to her. It was from Oscar Hammerstein, who at that moment was on his deathbed. The short note simply said, "Dear Mary, a bell is not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. Love in your heart is not put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away." I think that's very important to all of us because, you know, as we sang, God's love does go on and on and on and on and on and on for all of us. Even when we were so undeserving, God loved us. The scripture attests that we were unlovable. We were enemies with God and to God, and yet God loved us. We're going to spend our time here over the next month out of the book of 1 Timothy. And if you have your Bibles, and I hope you've brought them, please join me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. The author is the Apostle Paul, and Paul is writing to Timothy, who he had brought to the faith, and because of that, he viewed Timothy as his son in the faith. Timothy was positioned or placed in the city Ephesus, and Ephesus was a city that was not different than our world. It had many gods, it had many temptations and many trials and many things that could really pull people back and away from God. And so as an act of encouragement, the Apostle Paul sought to speak to Timothy. He sought to encourage him, and he sought to uplift him. So please read along with me, or listen as I read. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogy, which promote speculations rather than the divine training that is in faith. Whereas, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." It's very interesting to me to think that, you know, Paul is encouraging Timothy and he's telling Timothy, hey, in this church there's many things that are going wrong. There's different things that need to be straightened out. That is not what I'm drawing here. I believe one of the biggest things that really attracted me to Trinity United Methodist Church, getting to know Fritz and talking with Claire and working with Marla and all the individuals, are so many of the great things that are going on here. How love is expressed to the community. But I also believe that there's also a challenge for all of us to ratchet it up another notch. To say, hey, what can we do more? What can we do better? How can we more effectively express this love of Christ that has been poured into our hearts to a fallen world, to a fallen people? The other thing that strikes me as being very odd is Paul is talking to Timothy, and he doesn't say, hey, Timothy, go tell these people, boo, 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 boo. He doesn't say, hey, go tell them to do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. He says, our charge, your charge, my charge, our charge is love. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at love and where it stems from, where it comes from, where it arises out of. And it's this type of love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. You see, there are false types of love. There's a true type of love. In this scripture passage, the Apostle Paul uses the word agape. Many of us have heard this term. Agape love is signified by self-sacrifice and self-denial. It's saying, I want what's best for you more than what's even better for me. It's the type of love that placed Jesus on the cross saying, hey, I love you more than I love my own welfare. That's agape love. Agape love places yourself in the second seat. agape love says, I want your best interest at hand. But agape love is also described as a personal delight in God. And this is where I think a lot of us can really say, hey, I know there's times in my life, I know there's times in everybody's life that we don't delight in God like we might, like we may or should. Agape love is not holding anything back, but it's a grateful outpouring of our entire personality to God, saying, Lord Jesus, I am yours. Take me, use me, fill me. Mold me, shape me, make me into what you would have me to be. At the core of agape love, it's a central deep yearning for the prosperity of God's creatures, his creation. All people here in Gibsonburg, all over the earth, all around the world, are created in the image of God, meaning they have been stamped with God's image upon them. There should be something that wells up deep inside of us that should say, because they have been made in God's image, there should be a care and a concern and a deep yearning of love and feeling for their welfare. This is the essence of why missionaries go to the field. This is the essence of why I'm here. Not to pat myself on the back, but this is where it's rooted. You come into face-to-face, into acknowledging that even when we were unlovable and we were enemies of God and God still loved us, there's something that happens deep within your soul. There's something that happens deep within you as a person. There's something that moves you and me, and it's got to move us forward. This agape love is offered freely to people who don't deserve it. I don't deserve God's agape love. Nobody deserves God's agape love. We are all undeserving, but we are all so thankful. Agape love does not seek to possess the beloved, but it seeks to uplift and allow that person to become more of what God would have them to be. That's agape love, friends. Agape love is God. 1 John basically says, God is love. Now, this doesn't basically say that we can never speak truth into an individual's life. We must speak truth. But if I've learned one thing over the years, working with athletes, working with recovering individuals, working with all types of people, it's this. It's they will discern quickly, and they will know who you are and what you're about before you even reveal to them. And they will know if you are true and you are sincere. And at the crux of that is, do you love them? Do you care for them? Do you earnestly want what's best for them? It's been said that the highest goal of Christianity, our faith, is love. The unselfish love of full loyalty to God and boundless goodwill to our fellow people. This must be our ultimate goal in life. When I started coming here and Fritz was showing me the ropes and everything, I got a lot of questions, and the questions would go like this. Well, what's your agenda? What do you hope for Trinity? I personally really don't have an agenda. I want God's agenda for Trinity. But if I could place this at the core, it would be this. My personal hopes and dreams for Trinity United Methodist Church would be that this would become more of a place, because I believe it's a place now, it would become more of a place of love. That no matter who walks through those doors, they would understand, and they would understand and reckon with the fact that they are loved. They are cared about, that they earnestly want, the people here want the best for them. That's my hope. That's my dream. Not only a place of grace, but a place of love. A place where people feel accepted, they're not feeling condemned. A place where people feel embraced and exhorted and encouraged to move further in their life and deepen their walk with Jesus. That's my hope. In closing, this may be the shortest sermon you all ever heard. I don't know. You guys are going to have to give me some grace here, because I don't know, how long you typically go or how long or what. Sometimes I think
if we're all moved, kind of like the Puritans. The Puritans believed in the three-point sermon. Move the head, challenge the thought, move the heart, and get your feet to act. It doesn't matter if it's 30 minutes long. It doesn't matter if it's 20 minutes long. Hey, if we've been challenged, that's what matters. And so that's what I'm striving for. But I close with this. It's a poem. And the poem goes like this, and it's by G. Frederick Owen. It says, we must keep reaching out to people. After all, that is what love is all about. Love has a hem to her garment that trails in the very dust. It can reach the stains of the streets and the lanes, and because it can, it must. So my challenge to all of us is this. Are we willing to love the unlovable? Are we willing to embrace those who are unembraceable? Are we willing to reach out in love? Are we willing to the community of Gibsonburg, to the surrounding communities, to allow people to come in? And then my other challenge to all of us is in what areas, because we all have them, every single one of us, in what areas of our lives can we further grow in our expression of God's love? That's a challenge. Because we all can grow. We all can grow in our expressing God's love. And may we, as we continue on this journey together, may we be the hands and feet of Jesus. St. Francis of Assisi said it this way. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. So I think about, why do we do things that we do? Why do we go to Western Avenue Mission and do what we do? I sincerely hope it's out of a spirit of love. It's a spirit of sharing God's love that He has poured into us, that goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on, that we can pour out to others. Would you pray with me? Father God, we humbly come to You, Jesus, to thank You, Lord, for Your love that You have lavished upon all of us. You have given us Your supreme love and the supreme gift and Your grace of mercy and love in the form of Jesus Christ, Your Son. Lord, allow us to be in tune with how You've loved us even when we've been unlovable, and continue to challenge us to love those who are unlovable. And Father, may You be glorified above all. May we serve You. May we reach out to this community. May You prepare divine appointments that we might just honor You through our acts of service, but through our words as well. And so, Jesus, it's our heart to be motivated by Your love, the love that You poured out and so freely gave to us. Motivate us now, Jesus, and we'll bless You and thank You for what You will do. In Jesus' name.